Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there, and welcome to this edition of The Powerful Patient on Blog Talk Radio. This is Mike Lawing, and I've got a confession to make. Robin Martinez and I are just going to have a little bit of time to talk among ourselves without Joyce and her bubbly personality just overwhelming us, because she's on a little trip right now. So we've kind of stolen the microphone away from her, and we're going to talk about a few things today. How are you, Robin?
I'm doing great. I'm finally getting over the horrible cold that has invaded this part of the country.
Yes, it's now. Are you talking about the cold weather?
No, I'm talking about cold as opposed to flu, which fortunately I didn't get the flu, but I did get, you know, that horrible head and chest cold that had everybody coughing and hacking around. And so I think I'm done with the coughing. Most.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, we're having a lot of the flu spread out all over the country, it seems like, in the United States, and this year. It's amazing. They are openly admitting that, hey, the flu vaccine is only effective in about 30% of the cases this time.
Yeah, it really didn't work very well this year, which is unfortunate because it's been a really bad flu year in general. But speaking of cold, I understand that you guys in North Carolina have had some unusual cold.
Yes, they're talking about it on the Weather Channel and everywhere else. The jet stream is dipping up high in your part of the country, out in the Colorado and the Rocky areas, and down in the South, it's dipping down. They're getting some cold weather down in Florida this year that's incredibly cold for that part of the country.
Yeah, I saw pictures of 3-foot icicles in Florida. That's insane.
It really is. You know, years ago, back in the early 70s, I lived in St. Augustine for a while in Florida, and the lady told me, she said, oh, you can sleep on your front porch. We had a screened-in front porch. She said, you can sleep on your front porch year-round. And she was wrong. It turned out to be a cold year that year, and you know it's amazing how cold it gets down there. When it's 30 degrees in Florida, it's cold.
Well, yeah, you get used to a certain level of temperature. Like in Denver, when it hits 50 degrees in the wintertime, we think it's shirt sleeve weather.
Yeah, 50 degrees and it's shirt sleeve weather. That's right. Well, it's
yep.
That way around here,
degrees.
You know, when it usually when it gets down below freezing in North Carolina, the part that I live in, it's kind of chilly. But lately, going outside and it being 32 and 30 degrees and maybe even 25, we're thinking, hey, this is warm. So it's unusual.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Well, Mike, we should probably start getting down to business here. You and I have both been dealing with kidney cancer for a really long time, you as a patient and me as a former caregiver. My husband was diagnosed with kidney cancer in 1988 and told at that time, it was November, the doctor said, you won't see 1989 or maybe just a couple months of it. And fortunately, through a series of just good luck and miracles, he ended up living until 1998. And a little bit before that, I got involved with people online who actually knew things about kidney cancer. They were patients and caregivers. And I got involved there, and I'm still involved online. And even though he died in 1998, I've been able to help thousands of kidney cancer patients get through this horrible medical maze that we all face when we get a cancer diagnosis. It's pretty terrifying, and finding people online who have exactly your kind of cancer is a big help. So I'd like to put in a plug right now for smartpatients.com. Smart Patients has the largest community of kidney cancer patients in the world, and they can help you if you have kidney cancer. So please think about signing up at smartpatients.com. It's all free. Patients and caregivers are welcome. Now, I know you've been dealing with kidney cancer for a really long time yourself. Would you tell us something about that?
Yeah, I was diagnosed probably a year or so before your husband passed away in November of 1997. And, you know, I found out after about 4 or 5 years, there wasn't a lot of information out there, and I managed to find out about the Kidney Cancer Association, and they had a member forum running back in those days that was pretty frequented a lot, you know, with a lot of people, and I became a forum moderator on it, much like you're doing with Smart Patients. And of course, they decided after a few years to suspend operations of that member forum, and so they've kind of gotten out of that for the most part. But it was really something to be able to communicate with other people that was going through the same type of condition that you're going through, and to get information from them, Robin.
Oh, yes, it makes such a difference. And through the years, I've found we have lots and lots of people who come in with no science background, no medical background. They're just terrified. And within 6 weeks, they sound like they've been dealing with this field for years. They know the drugs. They know the doctors. They know the lingo. And it's just amazing the difference that makes when you go into your doctor's office and he says pazopanib or Votrient or sunitinib or interleukin, and you know what he's talking about.
And, you know, that is the thrust of this broadcast, you know, with Powerful Patient, that we're trying to empower people to understand the conditions that they're going through and to know the treatments that are out there, the medications that are out there, and the procedures that are out there, where when you go into the doctor's office and sit down, you can have a decent conversation with them without most of that stuff flying over top of your head and you just walking out dumbfounded at what's being said. And it's not only true with cancer, it's with any condition that you have. It's good to know these things, isn't it, Robin?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're starting a new group at Smart Patients right now for progressive supranuclear palsy. Now, hardly anybody's even heard of that. But if you have it or your loved one has it, to be able to talk to other people who've been through the same thing is just worth its weight in gold.
Now, okay, so you've got that group going. What's some of the other groups that you have? I'm familiar with a few of them, but you've got a lot of different cancer types and situations out there that Smart Patients deals with, don't you?
We really do. We have practically every cancer, and if somebody has a rare cancer or a rare chronic condition, they can write to Smart Patients and say, I'd like to start a new group. And we'll help them start a new group. But what we found is that there are certain things like Sjogren's syndrome. These people all alone out there in the world, it's dry eyes, dry mouth, autoimmune syndrome that affects every part of your body. So people go to their doctor, and their doctor doesn't know what to make of it or can just treat a few of the symptoms but can't help them with the underlying problem. And these people have been so glad to be able to find others who understand what they're talking about and what they're going through. We have postpartum depression. We have multiple myeloma. We have practically every cancer. We have weight loss, especially for people who have either gotten weight loss surgery or are thinking about getting it. We have just tons of different communities, and basically you join the website and look for the things that interest you. One of the things that we have that I really like is called Crossing Disease Boundaries, and if you join that, we call it a tag, That means anytime anybody posts something that's tagged with crossing disease boundaries, you will get a notice that there's a new conversation. And this is for things that apply, say there's a new treatment and it might be useful for 20 or 30 or 40 different kinds of cancer. You'll hear about it there. And you can take it back to your own disease community and talk about it. It's just a fantastic platform for people to be able to talk and get answers. We give answers to people on Christmas Day. We're there all the time. There's always somebody reading. So it's really a wonderful thing.
And now your role is to kind of, as a moderator, you don't have to keep the discussion going, because I notice when somebody new comes online and they post something, or when somebody has a question, it's almost like there's five or six people just ready to jump in there with an appropriate answer to help them. So what is your role as the moderator out there?
Well, several things. One thing that I do is I try to read everything that I can read on the forum, and sometimes I'll find somebody, say, in the Sjogren's syndrome group who has a really good group that a really good idea that would help somebody else that I just read about over in a different community, like maybe Hashimoto's thyroiditis or just the autoimmune syndrome in general. Or we've brought together the chronic fatigue syndrome group with the Sjogren's syndrome group because they have so much in common. And we've been talking a lot about a new documentary on PBS, Independent Lens, which is called Unrest, which is a documentary filmed by a woman who suddenly just basically fell down one day and was overcome. She couldn't get up. She couldn't get off the couch. She couldn't do anything. And it took a while for her to get a diagnosis. And then she's been dealing with it all these years. And she's met all these people online and in person who have the same problem, but the doctors don't know what to do with them. It's really an amazing film. And it's just brought people together to talk about it and to talk about their problems. So I sort of cross-fertilize everything. I take a good idea from here and tell people over there, hey, go read this. And they get to know people who have other diseases. It's fantastic because the camaraderie and the sense that we're all in this together, it doesn't matter if you have exactly what I have. You have the same problem. Finding doctors, for example. People help each other find doctors in different sections of the country, find experts. They say, this is the guy to go to. For example, there's one group called POEMS syndrome, and hardly anybody knows what that is. It's hard to describe. It's not a cancer, but for some people, it's almost like a cancer. But it's generally treatable and curable. And the doctor who knows about this is at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And if you can get to see her, you get just fantastic treatment because she really knows what's going on. And most of the doctors in the country can't even diagnose this syndrome. So the people with POEMS are just out there proselytizing, you know, you might have POEMS syndrome. Sometimes people get diagnosed as having a condition called CIDP, or they get diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And it turns out what they really have is POEMS syndrome, which is very treatable. And in fact, this famous doctor, Dr. Dispensieri, wrote an article that mentions Lazarus getting up and walking again, because that's how dramatic the right treatment can be for these patients, but they have to find the treatment. So it's just, you feel like you're really playing a role in saving other people's lives, and it's just the best feeling in the world. And you never know, you know, somebody, It's like bringing gifts to the manger. Somebody might know one thing, and that one thing might save somebody else's life.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, that's the problem I see a lot of people when they get a diagnosis of whatever it is. They walk out of the doctor's office, and they go home, and they sit down, and they quit trying to find out information. They just don't try. I had a lady on a local lady here in the county. She posted something on Facebook not too long ago, and she had some cancer treatments and everything, and she was so tickled about it, but she got to complaining about being sick all the time and everything, and so I sent her a private message, and I said, "Have you talked to your doctor about something for that condition?" She said, "No, I just thought it was part of the chemotherapy." And, you know, and when she went back to the doctor the next day, he said, "Oh, we can do something about that, but you didn't tell us."
Exactly, exactly. And people think they maybe get one drug for nausea and it doesn't work. So they think, well, I tried what they had. It didn't work. They don't go back to the doctor and say, "That one didn't work. What else do you have?" And
just knowing
to do something like that, it sounds very simple after you say it, but until it occurs to you to go back and say, "Drug number one didn't work, drug number six didn't work, what else do you have?" There almost always is something else. And one of the great things about the online forums, too, is that other patients have been through whatever it is, nausea or sleeplessness or mental fog, and they can tell you home remedies that can be added to the prescription remedies, and little tips and tricks that maybe the nurse in the oncology office knows this, but maybe she doesn't. One of the crazy things is eating coconut macaroons for diarrhea. It doesn't work for everybody, but if it works for you, boy, it's great.
See, I wish I'd have known that when I was on a drug called Sutent, and I had to know where every restroom in the area was, you know, when I was traveling.
Yeah, it simple little things like that. And, of course, you don't want to go around just talking about your diarrhea in general public, but on a patient forum, people will talk about, you know, the most intimate subjects with complete relaxation because they know other people have been there. They will understand.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, if you get on these forums, you're not necessarily required to bear all of your problems. You can share whatever you want to, correct?
Right, and you can learn just by reading. We have people who come to Smart Patients, and they say, "I've been reading here for 6 months, and this is the first time I've posted. And I've got a question that hasn't been answered yet." And they post it, and somebody will know the answer. Somebody will tell them, "Well, I had that, and I tried this. My doctor said whatever." And we really find a lot of relief for people. And once they start posting, they're so happy. It's like, I have people to talk to. I have people who understand me. And often they'll say, you know, "I can't talk about this with my family. If I tell them how sick I feel, they worry about me. But I can tell you guys what I'm going through, and you understand, and you help me feel better about it, and you help me do better." And it's a wonderful fellowship. So people who are out there in little towns, people who are out there without ever having, the first time I ever met another person who had kidney cancer was because of being online and finding out, hey, there's a guy in the next town over who's been dealing with kidney cancer for years, and he's a fantastic patient advocate. And we got to meet him and hear his story and tell him our story. It was like finding a lost family member.
Yes, and that's the way it was with me. You know, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and I went to my local urologist about 30 miles from my home, and he said, "You know, I don't have anybody else that has kidney cancer. And I don't know a whole lot about it." And, of course, this is 20 years ago, and rightfully so, he didn't know anything about it. But he said, you know, we'll try to find out all the information that we can about it. Well, as I got a little bit more familiar with the situation and I got to talking to people in the community, oh, yeah, my husband had that or my wife had that 10 years ago, you know, and you found a few people but not a lot. So when I found an online forum that had a bunch of people, that's when I really started getting some good information.
Right, and that's how a lot of us get fired up to say, I want to help other people who feel lost and alone. I want to help them get the treatment that they should be getting. I want to help them know the things that they should know. And so we have a whole bunch of crusaders now across the country who got their start online and who now, well, like you and me, we're dealing with international organizations. We're helping people in other countries get the right treatment. We're helping people in the U.S. go to expert doctors. We're helping people find clinical trials. We're encouraging clinical trial participation, and we're encouraging the developers of clinical trials to take patients into more account when they design the trials. We're getting patient voices on approval boards and medical boards. We're setting up organizations. You're involved with a new organization called KC Cure, which is Kidney Cancer Cure. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, sure. I'd be glad to. KC Cure got started about 18 months ago, and their vision is to fund medical research in kidney cancer. There's not a whole lot of research going on out there, comparatively speaking, for kidney cancer compared to some of the other more common cancers. And when I say compared, I'm talking about dollar for dollar, you know, per patient that's diagnosed. So they started out just a little grassroots organization. We're still grassroots. And last year, they awarded over $100,000 in research grants. Now,
That is so amazing for a group that just got started and they managed to raise $100,000 in less than a year and give it out.
Absolutely.
Get a project started.
And the thing is, it wasn't a big company or a pharmaceutical company that funded any of this either, you know, because pharmaceutical companies don't fund research through nonprofit organizations. But it's intriguing to be with a small organization where people are wanting to get involved. And, of course, a lot of the people that's with KC Cure are also on Smart Patients. And, you know, it's all a collaborative thing. We have just recently formed a patient advisory board. We've had a board of patients a little over a month, and our plans are to utilize them in evaluating the research grants that come in for funding and to help to promote the desires of KC Cure and also to provide a voice to us so that we can figure out better ways to reach out to the kidney cancer community across the country as well as the world.
Yeah, and it's amazing the things that patients bring to the table that nobody has ever considered before.
Exactly.
Just some of the things that you find out, and you ask a doctor, and a doctor says, you know, one of these expert doctors will be just stunned, and I hadn't thought of that. And they will say, that's a really good question, and they begin to explore it. It's amazing that now that patient voices are being heard, we are getting faster progress. And, of course, it's not all due to the patient voices, but the patient voices are playing a role in helping things move along.
Well, you know, I went to see my oncologist last week, and he had a new nurse practitioner in there that I hadn't met. And when he introduced me to her, he says, you know, Mr. Lawing knows everything there is to know about kidney cancer. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. I don't know anything compared to what you know, Doc. But what he was saying was, you know enough to keep me on my toes so that when you come into my office, I have to be sharp to answer your questions. And that helps.
It really does. It helps everybody. And one of the visions that we had for smart patients was that the people who are seeing experts can come to smart patients and say, I'm seeing an expert, and the expert said this, and the expert said that. And these are things that the community oncologists might never have heard before, might never have considered before. And so the readers who are patients of the community oncologists say, that's interesting. And they go back to their community oncologist and they say, Dr. Tanier of MD Anderson said this. What do you think of that? Community oncologist says, wow. And he learned something new. And we're finding, you know, that there were studies done that when some big change comes along in medicine, like finding out that ulcers are caused by the H. pylori bacteria, for example, instead of just too much stomach acid or eating the wrong foods. So now we know there's an actual cause. To get that information out and get patients treated on the basis of that new information takes years and years and years. And it's not just because the medical community is stubborn, it's because they don't hear it. They don't have a pipeline to say, start treating H. pylori. And the same thing is true in cancer, where because of patients being active, and for example, in chromophobe renal cell carcinoma, which is a rare variant of kidney cancer, we had a patient on Smart Patients who had tried everything, and his expert doctor said, well, there's one thing left to try. I don't think it's really going to do any good, but you want to try it, right? And the patient said, oh, yes, I want to try it. And they tried it, and it's a drug called Afinitor, or Everolimus is the generic name. And he tried Afinitor and got a great reaction. And now Afinitor is one of the treating chromophobe renal cell carcinoma among people who bother to look for it, including doctors.
Oh, I'm sorry, Robin. I didn't mean to cue that up. I'm sorry, Robin. I didn't mean to cue that up yet.
No problem. We are getting close to the end of our time. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I moved the bar over there to it, and it automatically started. Joyce forgot to tell me that. Yeah, we've got about a minute and a half left. Isn't that incredible that we've spent that much time? So, trying something out that they didn't know would work in an actual clinical setting avoided the clinical trial stuff, but they found out it worked, didn't it?
Right. It was an approved drug, but nobody had tried it on this particular subset of patients. And when they did, they were really happy with it. And now they use a combination of Afinitor plus Lenvima, which both drugs are approved individually for treating kidney cancer. But for chromophobe kidney cancer, the two together, as the British people would say, they work a treat. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Now, what's the website again, Robin?
SmartPatients.com.
SmartPatients.com. See,
yep,
Robin and I have. Go ahead.
All one word, SmartPatients.com.
Robin and I have enjoyed stealing the mic today, and we'll all get back together soon. Thank you for being with us today, and we hope you've learned something about advocacy, and be sure and visit Smart Patients. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Mike. Great talking to you.